If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Good to be with you. Share some ideas. Talk about what's important. And of course, today is a very important time. Israel, the Jewish people throughout the world, are at great risk. Israel has decided the time has come to put an end to a huge threat, to a nuclear threat. The world stands by. The world ignores the seriousness of what Iran is doing. Strange. A world who understands what destruction really means. A world that has witnessed war after war. A world that has witnessed chaos. A world that has witnessed death so many times. And yet, because of its indifference, hatred toward Israel, turns a blind eye to a nation, an enemy that is, well, dedicated to the destruction of Israel, uses all sorts of proxies to continue to hurt Israel. Israel is forced to defend itself again and again and again at a great price, loss of life, instability. And today Israel decided enough is enough. And because of that, each and every one of us, each and every single Jew throughout the world has a tremendous duty and privilege to defend Israel in whatever way we can. In whatever way we can, morally, to stand up and to make it clear to ourselves, to our families, to our friends, to our community, we stand with Israel at this difficult time. Now is not a time for protest. Now is not a time for noise. Now is not a time for biased arguments. Now is a time to stand strong and proud with Israel, behind Israel, so that everyone throughout our communities, throughout the entire world knows the Jewish people are one. And the unity of the Jewish people is ultimately its greatest strengths. But it goes beyond that. The unity has to be expressed in a practical sort of way. Each and every one of us should commit to an extra mitzvah, to do something a bit more charity, a bit more prayer, come to shul a bit more often, to study a bit more Torah. Men, women, children, everyone. To do something that the spiritual energy of that action will bring protection to our holy land, to the people of Israel, to Jews everywhere, in the fullest possible way. Let us not underestimate the power of a godly act. Let's not underestimate the power of a mitzvah, the power of the study of Torah, the power of doing something that fulfills the will of God. It's incredible. And it knows no limit. It knows no boundaries. It reaches into the highest levels of heaven. And it produces a response which is incredibly powerful as well. Now is a time that each and every one of us is called upon to do something extra. With a state of brotherhood and unity, to do something which is extra. And this is why today, Erev Shabbat, the Shabbos, when we will think about what's happening and think about it not in some abstract sort of way, but in a practical sort of way, to make a commitment, to make a resolution, to do something, all of us together, that energy, that power will be a tremendous, tremendous benefit to our holy land, to our people everywhere. Behalotcha. Behalotcha is very much connected to the month of Sivan, of course, and to the highlight of the month of Sivan. The month of Sivan is, well, when we receive the Torah, when God came down and gave the Jewish people the ultimate eternal gift of the Torah. when he gave the Jewish people that which makes the Jewish people his people. The Jewish people have survived throughout the entire exile, diaspora, once, twice, three times. We continue to survive and thrive as a people with pride and with dignity because of Torah. Because this eternal book, this eternal wisdom of God connects us to Almighty God. And it enables us to live a life which is far beyond the physical and the material. Yes, the physical and material are the methods through which we fulfill the will of God. But contained within those physical material acts is the soul, the presence of God. And that makes it powerful. And Baha'u'llah is connected to the story of Matan Torah because Baha'u'llah is always read after Shavuot. Last week's Parsha Naso is sometimes read before Shavuot, sometimes after Shavuot. Baha'u'llah is always read after Shavuot. And because of that, Baha'u'llah is a Parsha that is permeated with the energy that came with Matan Torah, that came with revelation at Sinai, that comes with the presence of Torah because it's already been given. And what is Baha'u'llah? Baha'u'llah is the instruction God gave Moshe to tell his brother Aaron, the anointed high priest, to kindle the menorah, the candelabrum, in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. And of course, the obvious question we've always asked, we always discuss, why use a strange term, Baha'u'llah, when there are so many simpler terms to tell us how to light the menorah, to kindle the menorah? Baha'u'llah has all sorts of other meanings as well. Baha'u'llah, to elevate, to raise, to bring up. And Rashi tells us, based upon our sages, that Baha'u'llah means that the way Aaron had to kindle the menorah was to elevate the flame to a degree that it began to go up by itself. Yes? Aaron prepared it, put in the oil, kindled it. But the flame had to rise by itself, go up by itself. The menorah, as our Kabbalistic teachers tell us, our Hasidic teachers tell us, the menorah symbolizes the person. It's made of one solid piece of gold. It's not a combination of different parts. One solid piece, the essence of unity. That's what the person is really all about. But it's something which begins to develop and spread into different categories. The soul, the body. The soul contains different elements, intellect, emotion. Emotion has different dimensions. Intellect has different dimensions. The emotions express themselves in six or seven different ways. This characteristic, that characteristic, kindness, severity, supremacy, regalty. There are so many different dimensions to the soul. These are the arms of the candelabra. But all the flames in a miraculous sort of way point toward the center. Flames go upward, but these flames go upward and point toward the center. The ones on the right go left, the ones on the left go right, to indicate unity and centrality within the individual. And this is the job of Aaron the high priest, because he's imbued with a tremendous sense of love to each and every single Jew. He is able to help each and every one recognize their individual parts and to teach them how to create unity within themselves. This is what the candelabrum is all about. But Baha'u'llah, he teaches them about their fire, but he also tells them the fire has to go up by themselves. Each and every single individual has that flame, but he and she has to elevate it on their own after they're given the opportunity and the wherewithal to do it. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
Diskim Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Diskim Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Diskim Wellness Clinic inside Diskim Pharmacies. Better health starts here. Also, discover the delightful symphony of flavors at Friends Bakery in Sandringham every Friday. Indulge in fresh baked flavored challahs like za'atar, homemade, and classic loaves, all perfect for Shabbat. Try the Friends Bakery new pretzel challah. You'll be a fan for life for a limited time. Enjoy free taster samples when you purchase your challah. Place your order easily via WhatsApp on 076-108-0085. That's 076-108-0085. And taste the difference that has everyone's taste buds buzzing. Visit Friends Bakery in Sandringham today and treat your taste buds to something extraordinary. We're talking about the Parsha of Bahalotcha, that Aaron had the incredible ability given to him by God to not only kindle the menorah within the temple, but to actually elevate the holy spark within each and every single Jew and Jewess, to bring out that which is often deep within the neshama, within the soul, and to let it spread into each and every single attribute, koach, of the intellect, of the emotional structure, and to indicate to the individual the incredible powers that they have, the separate powers, but at the same time, to keep that flame directed toward that center, and the very menorah that was made out of one solid piece of gold, unity and diversity at the same time. And at the same time, to indicate to the individual, Aaron does, I will help you. I will show you that you have that power. I will show you that you have that potential. I will kindle that flame, but the flame has to go up as a result of your own efforts. It's a combination of efforts. I will help you, but you have to go up on your own. And this theme of Bahalotcha, this theme of elevation, of raising up, continues throughout the entire Parsha. In fact, the Parsha contains the story of Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach, people who couldn't bring the Paschal sacrifice because they were in a state of ritual impurity, they were tamei, and they came to Moshe and they said, Lama nigara, why should we be excluded? And Moshe turns to God and says, what can we do about these people? And God says, I will give them a second chance. A month later, on the 14th of Iyar. That too is Bahalotcha. Individuals that are in an imperfect state, ritually impure. Bahalotcha, I will give them the opportunity of elevating themselves, of raising them out of that state of impurity and fulfilling the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. A great many stories within the Parsha, we'll talk about some of them perhaps a bit later. But there's one story, or perhaps one narrative within the Parsha, which is quite interesting. And that's the instruction that God gives Moshe to produce a set of chatzotzrot, a set of trumpets. But what makes it so interesting is the instruction comes with tremendous, tremendous, interesting precision. It had to be made of silver. And like the menorah, from one solid piece of silver. It wasn't put together from a bit here and a bit there. It had to be hammered out from one solid piece of silver. And it also had to be made from silver that was owned by Moshe. It had to be Moshe's private property. And you think to yourself, trumpets? Of course, trumpets. It was a huge, huge multitude of people. Millions of people, in fact. And therefore, to call them to indicate that it's time to move, etc., etc., what the trumpets were used for. Why make such, well, a whole to-do about these chatzotzot, about these trumpets? Why out of silver? Not brass, not copper. Why silver? Not even gold. Why did it have to be the personal possession of Moshe? And why out of one solid piece of silver? The great Hasidic master, the Maggid of Mizritch, the great disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, explains it to us. He said the word chatzotzrot actually means chatzi tzurot, two half forms. The trumpet symbolizes two half forms, one on its own, incomplete. Together, they become a complete form. And what is that form? So the Maggid explains that complete form is a number of things. On the one hand, it's the inner person and the outer person. The inner person, that's the essence of the soul. The outer person, those are the attributes and the powers of the soul that extend outward from the soul on a more conscious external level. The various emotions, the various intellectual attributes, chesed, gevura, tiferet, kindness, severity, beauty, etc., etc. And very often people tend to function only on the conscious external level. Might be aware of the internal essential level, but see it as two separate elements. Chatzotzrot, chatzi tzurot, the internal and outer person must come together and work together. Like the menorah, going to the center, one solid piece. The chatzotzrot, these trumpets, had to be from one solid piece of silver, similar to the menorah. And not only that, it's the sound of the trumpet. What is that sound? That sound is that which brings together the inner and the outer. It can be a variety of things. An idea, a thought, a song, a prayer, a word. And then there's another, two separate forms. Almighty God and the person. And very often, we don't see the connection. They are two separate things. And it becomes the responsibility of the individual to bring it together, to unite with God. But it's quite difficult. And kesef, silver, comes from the words nichsof, nichsafti, to yearn to come together. The yearning is there, but often the ability is not there. Often the knowledge of how to do it is not there. And this is why the trumpet had to be the possession of Moshe. Moshe is the great leader, the great shepherd, the great teacher, the one who brought down the Torah to the Jewish people and taught them the Torah again and again and again. This is why the chatzotzrot, these two half forms, bringing unity within the individual and unity between the individual and God. Moshe is the one who teaches, who guides, the faithful shepherd. We've often spoken about that. This is what the trumpet, he teaches them the sound of Torah. the sound of tefillah, the sound of prayer. Moshe is the one who is able to do that. And our sages tell us, especially the Moshe b'chol dora v'dora, there is the extension and the presence of Moshe in each and every single generation. A person must find a teacher. A person must find a guide, a mentor, to help that individual bring that unity within their own lives, to bring that unity between themselves and Almighty God. These are the chatzotzrot. These are the trumpets. It's not only an instrument that produces a type of sound, of noise, to bring the people together, which is also an act of unity. It's not only a method, a practical method of calling everyone together. It's a powerful spiritual instrument. It's symbolic of that sound which is able to penetrate the essence of one's soul and to reach the most external dimension of our being, to bring together ourselves and God, the ultimate unity, the ultimate oneness. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, God is one. What does one mean? One with us and we with him. That's the oneness that we're talking about. And this is where Moshe comes in. It had to be his. Moshe as the perfect teacher, the perfect guide, the perfect shepherd. He is the one who is able to do that. And this is why we have to look for a perfect teacher, for a perfect guide, for a perfect mentor. One or another or another. But it has to be a guide, a mentor, who understands the individual, who understands Torah, who understands the inner dimensions of Torah, who understands the pathways and teachings of Torah, and who understands the pathways within the individual and the soul of the individual as well, and understands which sound, which trumpet sound is unique to that individual and will wake up. Just as Aaron, out of love for each individual, is able to raise the flame, so Moshe is able to teach, to guide, and to create that unity. And this is something which Bahalotcha talks to us about in each and every single portion of the parsha. And we see it again and again and again. The idea of elevation, the idea of unity, the idea of absolute oneness, recognizing manyness, recognizing diversity, recognizing the fact that a human being has a great many things, a body, a soul. The body is made up of different parts, and even the soul is made up of different parts. But ultimately, there has to be synthesis, coming together, a unity between the inner and outer man, between man and God. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
Attention, small business owners. Boost your brand with an unbeatable advertising deal on 101.9 High FM. Get 5 ads per day. That's 5 ads per day for 5 days for just 5,000 Rand. This stimulus campaign is perfect for businesses looking to make a splash. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to reach your audience and grow your business. Interested? Email info@chaifm.com. That's info@chaifm.com. Or text 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019 today. Listen to this. The Kollel Bookshop annual sale is here once again. This year, all our products, such as Sforim books on all subjects, Judaica and giftware, are all at a discount of 25%. We also are focusing on sets of Art Scroll books. Please look at the online catalog to place your orders with payment at a discounted price, and we will arrange shipment to South Africa to fulfill your needs. Take advantage during the period of the sale from the 22nd of June to the 6th of July. See you at the Kolod Bookshop. And this is a great opportunity to fill your house with worthwhile Sfarim and books. Take advantage of this great sale. We're talking about Bahalotcha and how every aspect of the Parsha is elevation. But toward the end of the Parsha, we come across a very sad story. There was a group of people called the Asafsuf. The Asafsufs were rabble-rousers, troublemakers. And, well, they kind of just added on when the Israelites left Egypt. And they just had a desire to, well, not only make trouble, they were sick and tired of the manna. They were sick and tired. The manna had every flavor. The manna was absolutely delicious, fell from heaven. They wanted to eat meat. And they, well, protested and rebelled. You know, Jews love to protest. And God became very upset. He gave them the slav. He gave them, he translated as quail. But he was very upset, and he punished them. So the obvious question is, how does that fit into Bahalotcha? Bahalotcha is the elevation, synthesizing the inner and outer, God and man, spirituality, etc. How does that story fit into Bahalotcha? Bahalotcha is a different type of concept altogether. And the answer is quite simple. Even when you do something pretty stupid, and you do something pretty coarse, and you do something which is wrong, all is not lost. And even if God has to, unfortunately, deal with you in a bit of an extreme way, all is not lost. You still have the opportunity of Bahalotcha. You can be a rabble-rouser, you can be a troublemaker, you can be a protester of the worst kind. You still have the opportunity of taking advantage of the love of Aaron and the teaching of Moses, and to unite your inner and outer self to become one with God. You're able to elevate yourself, to ignite that flame within you and become altogether different and better. Yes, you can be part of the Asafsuf. You can be part of that group of people that anger God. But you're in the Parsha that's called Bahalotcha, and not because of any other reason, but because you too can become part of the Bahalotcha community. And that's the greatness of Torah. The greatness of Torah is that it doesn't exclude anyone, even those who make terrible mistakes. And God has to deal with them in a harsh sort of way, as we read in the Parsha. And it's not pleasant. But they too are part of this week's Parsha, which means raising up, elevating, making better, taking advantage of who they really are, not of how they behave, but who they really are. And that's what we have to look at. As mentioned at the beginning, we're in difficult times, and it's a time that each and every one of us has to go beyond who they are. It's a time that each and every one of us has to do something a little bit extra. It's a time that we have to extend our prayers to God to protect Tzahal, the IDF. Each and every one of them is a hero. Each and every one of them is a giant. This whole rising lion should be blessed with God's miraculous, miraculous presence in every sense of the word. The IDF should be protected. People should be protected. Jewish communities throughout the world should be protected, but we have to do our bit as well. This is a time to come to shul. This is a time to be present with the communities. This is a time to add a mitzvah, to add a moment of study, to add a moment of prayer. This is a time to come to shul. Bahalotcha is a fascinating parsha. all sorts of interesting but different things under the banner of Bahalotcha. The theme is elevation. The theme is lighting the flame and keeping it going in a powerful sort of way. And it can be done, it should be done, it will be done. Each and every one of us has a unique role to play. So when you're in shul, tomorrow, tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow when the Torah is read, as I always say, listen carefully. All sorts of stories. The trumpet, the story of the quail, the story of the second Pesach, the story of the candelabra, the story of Moshe having to choose different people to assist him in his incredibly difficult task of leading the Jewish people. All sorts of incredible stories, but listen carefully. Listen carefully, because you will hear something that talks to you personally, and it will resonate, and it will say something of great importance. Great importance that will have a tremendous impact on who and what you are. Bahalotcha, to elevate, to raise, to become greater, to let that inner flame become something which is real and something which is present and something which is powerful. Good Shabbos.